Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Boston Red Sox falling on their faces in just about every aspect of the game, they only lose 4-3 to the New York Yankees in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series last night in New York. I get everything I wanted, Fitzy. Drama coming down to the wire.
Who wants a close game, everybody?
I'm even a little bit of a sucker. Lil Gullible Andy, the final pitch of the game. I thought Rafaela had tied it up, putting the ball
so
into
I.
the... right field seats. He
screamed my face off. I was like, he did it. Oh, son of I. How many SOBs did you drop in the car, the driveway, the man cave last night? It was a bad night.
Oh no.
Shea Fitzy for the swear jar. Like, the kids are going to a really nice college or on vacation next year.
SOBs were the least of my concerns. There were a lot worse things flying
MF
out of this
bombs?
Potty. There was, I mean, you just heard it. The number of mistakes that Alex Cora's baseball team made yesterday. You know, we always do this little thing with the Patriots.
Did the Steelers win or did the,
or
Patriots,
did the Patriots lose?
That's what kind of baseball game this was. I don't really think you were beaten by the New York Yankees. You were beaten by the Boston Red Sox. You can put this on Bayo. You can put it on Cora for changing Bayo's catcher. You can certainly put it on Kyle Hudson for somehow seeing a run that should score and it doesn't.
Don't.
Like,
oh,
you can even hear it in Will Fleming's voice there. He's like, the ball gets away, and he's thinking, and the run and he's like, wait, why is that guy still over there? Why is Eaton still on
why
third
is the
base?
The fastest person on our baseball
what
team.
Happened?
Still standing on third base when he would have had when he had enough time to score not once but twice.
There
and he's
were,
still standing there.
There were goats everywhere for the Red Sox, and not the big G kind, the bad G, the little G kind. Goats everywhere, mistakes everywhere. Base running mistake, fielding mistake, pitching mistake, and oh, just for good measure, they showed that they're the furthest thing from a small ball team. Remember when we talked about, oh, Alex Cora's thinking ahead in September. He's got them all doing extra bunting practice at Fenway Park on a Tuesday before a regular season game.
Was Rafaela sick that day?
He must have been, because he was sick at the plate last night. That was embarrassing. And
maybe
I don't think it's
gag fever.
I don't think bunting is the easiest thing to do. I'm not one of those. When a guy is throwing like a splitter and it's moving and you don't do it a lot, like, I think that's a tough situation to put a guy in. But you're also a major league player, and you're also a guy that's what they're asking you to do. I'm asking you to do that. Mr. Clutch, Rafaela, do it. But I don't even think that was in the top five of the mistakes the Boston Red Sox made on the way to a 4-3 loss. And now it's there is no tomorrow. Whatever cliche you want to use, you got game three. By game time, 8:08 first pitch, prime
yeah,
time. Looking
yeah,
forward to it.
Yeah, moved it back into prime time because they realized, like, what a slate, by the way, of games today.
I just am glad that I'll be able to watch the game after my two-hour commute home that caused me to miss the entirety of Brian Bayo's outing. Wasn't even close that he was still pitching by the time I pulled in my driveway. But you're right, Fitzy. By the time we see Connelly Early, the baby-faced superstar in the making. Yep, talking him up.
Not even 20 major league innings. By the way, kid, not only are you going to be on the mound in Yankee Stadium, but we're going to put you in the mouth of hell in an elimination game against another rookie. Have at it.
So something I brought up the other day as a point of confidence after the Red Sox took game one was simply 12 series for the wild card, three-game series. 12 game one winners have gone on to win the series. It's now up to 13. Thanks to your Los Angeles Dodgers, and we will have two more opportunities to see if that holds true this afternoon. We'll see if the Tigers can get the job done and the Cubs can get the job done. Dan Ball has a weird thought on that because Dan Ball wants one of those teams to lose so the Red Sox don't have that pressure or whatever to live up to.
I don't need any more history or data or statistics on the line tonight. I got enough on my plate with Connelly early.
I'm going to sum up last night very simply. The mentality we've been taking with the New England Patriots is the one we need with the Boston Red Sox. Don't lose the game. Don't screw it up. That was early season ineptitude from Alex Cora's baseball team. And I don't know if they're too loose, if they're too tight, you know, which way the screw is wound there. Are they like two Mac Jones and they're wound too tight and they need to loosen up? I don't know. That's on the manager.
But what if they're just the Red Sox, Andy? What if this is like...
This is just right.
What if, okay.
Good time to bring that back. Troll. Big show. No,
yep, good troll job, Stiz. Also, we need the laughs today since all the B-holes are tighter than freaking Cameron's and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What if this three-game series is to act as microcosm of the entire season? Where it's like, oh my God, the Red Sox came out and they look great. They did everything right the first game. Great pitching, great clutch, everything. Crochet. And then the second game, we're full of confidence. We're chuffed. We're ready. Oh, here's those Red Sox. So now we are in the bowels. Now we are in the depths. We are in the emotional Marianas Trench right now. And we're like, there's no way they can win. How could they possibly do it? And tonight, with spit, glue, grit, resolve, miracles, and maybe a goat turning into a hero, they find a way to redeem themselves. Wouldn't that just be 162 turned into three?
So to set the stage, we are recapping that ugly-ass loss from last night. Just the ugliest, and you heard it in the voice of Will Fleming from early on, because your guy Bayo Fitzy was not on his game. We now may have found out... The Red Sox, if they do advance, may have one starting pitcher when they head to Toronto. One starting pitcher left. Although if they advance, maybe we'll talk ourselves into a Connelly early being another guy in the rotation. But we're going to recap that ugly loss last night at Yankee Stadium. We're going to look ahead to Game 3, must-win situation. How do they get it done? We're going to talk to Tom Curran, 3:30. We're going to talk to Lou Maloney, and I cannot wait to hear the passion in that man's voice at 4:30. We're also going to talk to you, the listener, 617-779-7937. How'd you feel about last night? Who you blaming for there needing to be another game tonight? And how you feeling heading into Game 3? Let's go to the phone lines early and often, Fitzy. Let's go let's fly across the country. Let's go to, we'll stick that one. Let's go to Mike in the car first. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, a couple of things. Obviously, you know, I've been calling all season, and I'm the numbers guy, you know. Everything is numbers, numbers, numbers. But I'll tell you something. Baseball more than any other sport, right, over the entirety of a season, the numbers will bear out the story of what's going to happen. Yes, exactly. But here's my thing, all right, and this comes back to Cora and how it relates to numbers. Just give me a little bit of leeway. Real quick, all season, we've been saying, you know, they need to play small ball. They need to do this, they need to do that. And it's the consistent response has been, we're going to do what we do. We're going to follow the formula. We're going to follow what the computers say and let the chips fall as they may. All right. So now it started really in game one, bringing Chapman in for four outs, something that he was only asked to do one time all season, and that one time resulted in a home run and a blown save. He only had three blown saves in the entire year, and one of those came the only time he was asked to go four innings. What do? You ask him to go four innings, and he almost blows the save. Three straight singles, and he tap dances his way out of it. All right, then, all year we've been saying, bunt, small ball, extra innings, small ball, why aren't they bunting? Okay, so they haven't bunted all year, then all of a sudden you throw it out there, huge spot in the seventh inning, let's have a guy bunt who's in the slump. And last but not least, Garrett Whitlock, all season, he's got a 2.25 ERA. This is a numbers thing. 2.25 ERA is a really good ERA, except in games where he's had to pitch more than one inning, that goes up to 3.58, a full run at plus more. 3.58 is not bad, but it still shows that he is not effective when you have him coming in for two innings. And what do? You bring him in for two innings. So it's like you have this book all season, and then you just throw it out the window.
Thanks for the call, Mike. So
that's a great call, Mike.
Attaboy, Mike.
Yes,
attaboy,
the Brezbot even agrees. You follow the numbers in baseball over 162, and it plays out in the long run. And yes, I think I would include in there all season, for essentially. Uh-huh. You've used Connor Wong as Brian Bayo's catcher. And then with the season on the line, you don't use Connor Wong as Brian Bayo's catcher. And this is not second-guessing from me. If you recall yesterday, after we talked to Alex Cora, that was one of my takeaways. I don't love the idea. I didn't think the advantage of Narvaez, and Narvaez did nothing to really help you win that game offensively last night. And you can't prove one way or the other whether Bayo was affected by not having Wong back there, but he had a terrible outing, and he's afraid to throw his changeup, and his velocity's dead. Like, there's all these issues with Brian Bayo. You could have taken one issue away by putting the guy out there with him that he is comfortable with. And the bunting thing, I agree. Like, you're a major leaguer, you should be able to bunt, but this team doesn't really bunt. Ted Johnson's been saying all year, play small ball. They kind of got out small balled, right? The Yankees score the run first, scoring from first, like just playing. Yeah. They didn't hit bombs out of the ballpark, and that's kind of concerning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Concerning to me, Fitzy, too, is the Yankees haven't really shown up to the point where, you know, Judge, how many home runs does he have in this series?
Come on.
How many does Stanton have?
Andy, you don't stand backstage and go, boy, this play's been going great. You know, Macbeth. You don't talk about a no-hitter in the dugout when it's 6-7 innings in. Come on. Let's not do that.
Just telling you.
I understand you're just saying it as well. And yeah. Look, we can play the revisionist historian game all we want, and we can go back and sit in our diaper of sad over all the mistakes that they made. Don't we want to, like, nah, it's too early. I'm a masshole. I feel like bitching about it as well. I hated the fact that they tried to bunt there. Not only did they bunt, as I learned this on the internet, and it was reconfirmed by the Jones and Keefe show, over 6,000 at-bats, plates appearances this season, they bunted 13 times. Yeah. This team doesn't bunt. They can't bunt. And why would you have one of your most undisciplined hitters, fast as he may be, faster than, grease lightning, why would you have him bunt? You saw that effort. He literally went out there like with a pickleball racket and just popped it up to that pitcher that I want fired into the sun. That made me scream so loud at dinner that it startled people.
It wasn't the first attempt. He fouled off the first attempt. Right there, I think I might have said, okay, wipe that off. Just let him hit. And it's a guy that does have a little flair for drama. Also a guy coming off a game in which he may have had the greatest at-bat of his career to draw a walk after going down 0-2. So maybe that builds some confidence for him in a clutch situation. So the execution was horrible, though. And that's where I go back to. They didn't execute in anything. You can bitch about Cora, blame Cora all you want, and there will be people that do that. We'll see how tonight plays out if they're really doing that heading into the offseason. But you also just had a left fielder who everybody Fitzy tells me is a very good defensive outfielder, correct? Jaron Duran, very good. No. What is he before last night? People would tell you he's a very good defensive outfielder. Is that
not? Yeah, he's a good fielder.
Yeah.
It
was a ball that, you know.
You could have caught it.
Any of us, Stiz could have caught it. Whoever the least athletic person on this show is could have caught it. I said whoever. Could be Brian. Could be Dan.
You saw me on the BC football field.
I brought you up.
Stiz. Okay.
But yes, that ball has to be caught. And even with all that said, any one of these play out differently, I think you win the baseball game. And certainly, Nate Eaton on second base with two outs, Yoshida's ground ball. How does he not score on that? And I heard Will Middlebrooks say he made the right decision. I think Will Middlebrooks is talking about when he stopped and then could have started to go again. I think he's saying that was the right decision. Because I do think once he stopped, if he started to go again after the ball got loose, he probably does get thrown out at the plate. But if he's running hard, he scores with ease. And I don't get the argument for stopping him. I don't get the argument for how you don't score. If the ground ball towards second base up the middle is fielded cleanly, right? Fielded cleanly, throw to first. Uh-huh. It's the final out of the inning, right? So you can't.
You've got Yoshida by a mile.
Right. And Yoshida, not exactly a speed burner, right? You're not expecting Yoshida to beat that out necessarily. So you can't get a fourth out at the plate. If you're running full speed and just round third and keep right on going, and he's thrown out at first, okay, you run into the dugout, you get your glove, we change innings. Okay, what if the ball is hit up the middle and there's a tough play, hypothetically or realistically as there was, right? That makes a difficult play. I don't think a diving second baseman is getting up and trying to throw to the plate and mow you down at the plate. He's throwing to first, but it's a tough play. Right?
Not when it's your fastest runner. No, that's not happening. Yeah.
So he throws to first, and like this situation, he makes a bad throw and the ball bounces away. That makes a really difficult play for the first baseman to get the ball. So the only way I think you get thrown out at the plate, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's another option, and I'll put it out to the callers too, Dan Ball, anybody else. The only way you get thrown out to the plate at the plate is if Yoshida beats out the ground ball, right? Standing up, clean throw, he just flat out beats it out.
There's zero chance Jazz Chisholm in trying to field that ball miraculously, and it's a hell of a play with some range. When he stands up, the first thing he's thinking is, oh, it's Masataka Yoshida.
Right.
Adorable as his little pocket-style perfect form run is, I'm going to get him at first. He's not looking to home because you don't have to worry about it. If that run scores before a force out, it doesn't count. If you were to throw to another base, it could potentially count. But there's 0.0% chance Jazz Chisholm is going to try to throw home, correct?
Yeah, so I don't understand. There's literally a very slight chance you're getting thrown out at home in any situation. So as soon as that ball is hit, and I know people want to blame Hudson, and he's part of this, but as soon as that ball is hit, I think Eaton has to be thinking, I'm crossing home plate. Whether it counts or not, I'll find out later. But I'm crossing home plate. That is my job on this. I'm running as fast as I can with the tightest turnaround third that I possibly can. And a baseball team that Alex Cora just told us is a little bit small ball built, right? Base to base, hits this, timely hitting, runners in scoring, all those things should have scored there. And you may win the game if you score there. Now, again, it's not the only one-off. And I know Alex Cora got defensive a little bit last night, and I get it. I think he's defending his guy, Kyle Hudson, Huddy.
He's in a mood because he can't, because like, you know, he took so many bullets for his team last night, Andy. And I do admire there's nobility in saying, hey, listen, if you want to talk about what went, it's the classic example, right? If things go right, praise the players. If things go wrong, blame me. So he took the heat.
Sure. But I also think he's taking the heat for his third base coach who got in the way and threw the brakes on and then tried to, and then kind of freaked out and then was like, go, like it was just chaos over there. But if Eaton is running full speed from the crack of the bat, he scores there. And I think today we're talking about how well the Red Sox are going to do in Toronto. 617-779-7937. Squeeze in another phone call. Let's go up to Tom in New Hampshire. What's up, Tom? Tom?
Hello, Tom.
Nope. Ground Tom control. Gone. How about we go to Pauly in Dedham? What's up, Pauly?
Here we go.
You know, Doreen, I played a ton of outfield in my life, okay?
Brag.
And it was like a circus show out in center field, okay? I would have had that ball. I would have caught that ball with Durant drop. And I'll tell you what you do, your technique is to, you know, you're going to be ended up on the ground anyway. You have to catch that ball. You got to leave your feet. Because there's a certain amount of like rumbling as you're running hard for a ball, and it takes it causes a bit of a vibration, and it just can throw you off sync. You have to catch that ball. You've got to leave your feet.
Thanks for the call, Pauly. I don't agree you have to leave your feet, and that was actually part of the excuse. And we'll hear from Jaren Duran a little later in the show with his explanation.
Have to leave your feet?
You don't have to leave your feet, and I think that's what screwed him. He thought he was going to have to leave his feet, and then he got there in an effort enough to not leave his feet and got caught in between, and the ball bounced off his glove, and here we are. Yes, Dan Ball.
I would also argue that he left his feet the wrong direction. If he slides feet first, that ball is still chest to eyes high, and you make that relatively easily.
This is something we've tracked all year, that him running to his right has not been good.
Yes.
In left field.
Yeah,
him running to his right in left field has been an issue for him. We thought maybe some of it had to do with the little tight, narrow, foul territory at Fenway Park. Obviously, that's not the case in this situation. You're not at Fenway. You weren't near the wall. None of that was an issue. But he's just not good. The one thing I will say is I give him a ton of credit. You know, I heard Rich Keefe say, well, what's he going to say? I don't know. I listened to Devontae Parker a couple of years ago when a ball hit him in the hands talk about how, oh, it didn't really hit my palms. It only hit my fingertips, and I couldn't really. Like, guys make excuses. Or he could have pantomimed like freaking Shador Sanders in Cleveland. He could have done whatever. He was a man, and he stood up, and he said, I cost us the game. This is on me. What I want to get into after the break, though, is that good or bad for Jaren Duran's performance tonight? He's motivated. He's in his head. He's got something to prove. And he might be back in the leadoff spot with something to prove. And our guy Ted Johnson has some concerns and questions about that. But Jaren Duran, he may very well have cost you the game. He took accountability at his locker. What are you expecting from Jaren Duran tonight? We'll continue to recap last night's loss and play the blame game. Plenty of blame pie to go around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.